Herzlich willkommen zum Modelleinsatz, der mathematische Podcast aus Karlsruhe mit Gudrun Täter und Sebastian Ritterbusch.
Hello, Chiara. I'm welcoming you. You are in Regensburg today and I'm in Karlsruhe. But due to the magic of technique, we can nevertheless talk to each other.
Hi.
I invited you to have a conversation for our podcast because I know that in Regensburg at the mathematical faculty, you're very much dealing with women in mathematics, and even broader, you think about mathematics and equality, diversity, and inclusion. And these are three very large words which mean a lot, which also should be large because they're important. But Chiara, please tell me and our listeners, how did you start to become interested in these type of topics?
Hi, everyone. So I started very randomly, I would say, in the sense that I was not always super interested in the topics. Not that I was thinking that they were not interesting topics, but I was not considering them at all previously. But then during my PhD studies, I would say in the second year, I have started with other two fellow colleagues, the group Women in Mathematics, Regensburg. And this group was like, the idea for which we created it was to create an environment where people in the department, and by people I mean not only women, so people, could experience a good way of being in a math department. But back then it was only an initiative with some meetings, and that was my main interest in the topic. And after that, thanks to the Women in Mathematics group, I started being more interested in also the actual research behind this topic, so not only organizing initiatives for other people, but actually trying to find facts about it, because during my experience I have learned that you need also facts to convince people that these topics are important. And this is why I started a bit more than 1 year ago to actually do research in gender diversity, equality, and inclusivity. And everything started with a paper that we prepared with the other two fellow organizers of Women in Mathematics in Regensburg, where we investigated through a survey how gender diversity, equality, and inclusivity is perceived in mathematics departments by students or by employees. And by doing that, I have discovered that actually that was what I wanted to do in my future. And so now I switched to be a researcher only in that.
Yes. No, there are several things where in my head I was like, I should comment on this. So, for example, one thing, whenever I am talking as someone who let's show that I'm for certain equality aspects, so just let's just say women in mathematics, very often I'm kind of hit with the preconception that this is just something for women. And of course, as you have told, kind of in between the lines, it's not just for women, because it's against the stereotypical way we consider mathematicians to be like a typical mathematician. And in my experience, I've seen also a lot of men and people who don't want to be considered either men or women or whatever, struggle with trying to fit into stereotypes which are really hard to fit in. and which are absolutely not necessary to have in order to be a good mathematician. And so if you say you started inviting women and then you kind of invited everybody interested in a more welcoming environment, then that's a work which is for everybody in the department, because also the few which are stereotypical, I think even for them, things start to feel different if other people feel more comfortable around them.
Yes.
And the second thing is that, of course, as mathematicians, we always think we are very objective and rely on facts. And then people tell us, oh, but there is no problem, especially people who don't feel it so hard to feel fit into the stereotype. Oh, there is no problem. Everything is very equal and we are only honoring people who are good in mathematics and nothing else. I would never discriminate against someone because he loves a man who loves men or a woman who loves women or even women. I don't consider them to be below me, but they are just not aware how they discriminate. And in order to have the facts, we don't really have a database, especially in mathematics. Yes.
Yes, I totally agree.
So, and in which way did you go on asking your fellow mathematicians? So, was this like a survey where you took in help from somewhere else who's experienced in doing surveys and maybe not being a mathematician, or how did you start to do that?
So we started very naive, so we didn't ask for help, because when we started, it was our idea was just a very small survey among some few, like our department, maybe another department, because it was like it started as something that we did in order to speak about this topic in a talk that we were invited to in Milano.
Okay.
And so it was really just a small idea. And we wrote 6 questions that were very broad in the topic. So we asked about gender quotas and self-imposter syndrome. We asked about menstruation and work. We asked about work-life balance. So it was really wild. And that was the first part. After we started presenting it in Milano, and then we actually presented it also in UK, we realized that it could become an actual research with a broader pool of participants and with more data on that. And so at that point, we had some conversations with people more expert in the field. So we adjusted a bit the survey, and then it became what it was now, what it is now going to be published. Yes.
Also, yeah, there are always, I would say, in the extremes, 2 possibilities, and mostly they are combined, that you try to get from the survey something which is easily quantified. So you ask, how happy are you? Rate between 1 and 10. 1 is unhappy, 10 is perfectly happy, things like that. And then it's easy to get like 70% of people are happy and 20% are so unhappy that they are below 3 in this rating, things like that. And I think even as mathematician, this is a kind of science which you have to know how to do in order to get meaningful results. But as I have seen what you did, you decided to follow a completely other approach, that you kind of put open questions, which of course takes the people more time to answer them, and also you more time to read and make sense of them. But this kind of gives a much more broader horizon of possibilities, what can be a feedback from the people you're asking. And you know, my background is, of course, my teaching is always evaluated, and most of this is like between 1 and 5, just rate, I don't know, 20 aspects of the lecture. But then there is, do you have something to tell? And this, do you have something to tell? Maybe like 10% of the students have something to tell and they write something in and it's anonymized for me. But this is very often the most interesting part of the evaluation for me.
Yes.
So things where I can learn something or where I really get feedback that people liked certain aspects or disliked certain aspects a lot and things like that.
Yes. Yeah, we decided.
So in these... Yeah, you decided for the open questions and the more work for you.
Yes, but the reason why we decided that was that at first we wanted to just have some quotes, let's say, from people to have more inspiration.
Okay.
So that was the reason why we went for the open questions.
Yeah. Yeah, then it's easier to jump off from these quotes and put this into a certain frame of your experience as three persons in Karlsruhe and Regensburg. Yeah. Yes. What were moments in reading the answers to your questions which were most surprising to you, maybe?
Almost all of them were actually surprising and very interesting. So we got in total, with the pilot part and the actual part, something like 150 answers. So there were many answers to it. But they were very interesting. I think one of the things that actually surprised me was that when they were asked about work-life balance, actually more men than women stated that they weighed they would like or they are waiting for a permanent position before getting children. And before reading these answers, I was imagining that this was a problem only for women. And reading so many men actually saying that was a big surprise. Obviously, we didn't ask more about that. It could be because they have a longer fertility age, so they can postpone more than women. I have no idea because we didn't investigate that. But it was anyways very surprising. And I would say also, related also to what you said earlier, there was one answer, but the idea was also in other answers. But one specifically, it was a woman, a PhD student from UK, and she stated that she was teaching. She had teaching duties during her PhD. And at first she was teaching and she was really not liking teaching. It was very difficult for her to be a teacher because she was not feeling comfortable at all in that position. And then she said in this answer that once she realized that she was feeling so bad just because she has always seen in her life as a student only one type of teacher, and that was not fitting her way of being. Then once she understood that, she switched and she decided, okay, I do what I think is good. And after that, she enjoyed. And this is really an example of what you said earlier, that if you always see only one example and you don't fit in that example, then you might think you are not good in that position and you want to go away. So this is really important to make more broad examples.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yes, with teaching, this is especially important, yes. Because in a way, you have this feeling you are gifted to be a mathematician or you're not so gifted and you just try to be good in working more. But to really understand that the way how you teach is really a personal choice. And I must say, I have been teaching for quite a while and only in the last, I would say more after Corona, I really fully realized what that means. Yeah. So kind of in between the lines, I adjusted quite a bit, but then really knowing that in not so unimportant things, really in important things, things how I address certain things, they are really make a big difference for the students, which for me is just a choice. And so even a choice which would fit more to my personality all over. And the result was that, especially for one lecture which I did for engineers, which was really hard, I really got back that they never had a lecturer which was so empathetic and passionate, and that they really felt well served just because of that, because they had the feeling I have them in my mind when just recording lectures for them, never meeting them in person, but kind of giving them the feeling that I see them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's very important.
So, from your CV, I have seen that you originally studied in Padua, and then you were part of a special program where the master's part is split between Padua and Regensburg. And so that's why I'm meeting you in Regensburg just now, because after you made your master's, then you stayed there for your PhD. But that's always, for me, it's always an interesting point to ask about the different experiences, because even in Germany, if you change from one university to another, the feeling can be completely different because the culture in each university is slightly different. But I would guess the culture between an Italian university and Padua as an example, which you know about, and the German University of Regensburg, probably there are quite a few things which are the same, but probably you have experiences of differences, big ones and small ones. So maybe what was kind of surprising to you changing between Padua and Regensburg?
So there were a few changes. I would say the biggest one was the mathematical change, because in Italy, or at least in Padua, but since in Italy the studies in the universities are quite uniform, I think it could be probably also in many other universities in Italy. There you study classical math, I would define it. So maybe the math that was done until 50, 60 years ago, and then you study all the foundations very well. But then when I switched and I came here, I was in a completely different world mathematically, because here, at least in Regensburg, my experience was that the mathematics that was taught in the courses was way more modern. So I don't mean that it was the mathematics that was developed 1 year before, but they were teaching us the language that is used right now in mathematics. And so there was this big gap from Italy to here, because I was used to the language that we used 60 years ago, and then I came here and everyone knew everything about that language and I didn't know. So that was a big gap to fill. I don't think I filled it completely, but at least enough to stay here. So mathematically, that was the biggest change, but it was not the only change. Here in Germany also the department is smaller, so you really feel it. Because here there are something like 15 full professors, and in Padua there are, I don't know the number, but way more. There are like 8 floors of department, and here 2, so there is way more people. And you feel it because here it's everything more small, more, I don't want to say familiar, because it's not the feeling I feel, but it's more everything. Is based, or most of the things are based on the good willing of people. While in Padua, since it's a biggest department, it's a bigger department in a bigger university, many more things are institutionalized. So for example, also this Women in Mathematics group here started because we liked that, and we liked the idea, and we did it, and we were free to do it with support from the department. But in Padua, it's actually like in the department, there is a specific commission for these kind of things. And it has to be part of the department. It's not based on the good willing of the employees. So that was also a big change on the culture and mentality of how you approach the department. And lastly, I would say as a student, so when the first year I was here, there were less students, obviously, since the department is smaller. But also, the fact that here it's a bachelor and master are splitted from Lehramt studies, then this really affects the population of the lectures. So I've seen the first year lectures where no Lehramt were there. And the ratio between men and women, for example, is way more extreme than in Italy, because in Italy everyone studies together. You have only one degree in mathematics, whatever you want to do after. And so I was thinking that if I was a first year student here and in Italy, I would have had two different experiences, and I'm happy I did it in Italy.
Yeah, so the funny thing is that, of course, this is also part of a procedure, so that when I started to work in the south of Germany at universities, still the teachers which were prepared for gymnasium, they were taught together with the mathematician, which were sent to industry afterwards. And there were just a few parts, so like less than 10% was different. Of course, they also had to choose a second topic, because they always have two topics at least. But they were for a longer time together, and now everything is completely departmentalized, so there's no need to meet each other at all.
I mean, I think they still have like the basic lectures, the gymnasium Lehramt students, together with the math, but they are really like very few. So
yeah, but that's a choice, because the university in Regensburg is so small, and so it makes sense to have them together, and for example, calculus 1 and 2, things like that.
Yeah, but then professors always address them as like the Lehramt students and the math students, and they really differentiate them. Also, when, I don't know when they speak to them, because I'm not in the lecture, but at least when they speak about them to other people, they really have this difference, even if they are in the same lecture. And I don't know, in my opinion, this could make Lehramt students feel they are less valuable. So also related to what you said before, less seen.
No.
But that's my impression.
Yeah, which is, of course, the completely wrong way to become better. So we need well-educated people coming from school, and which then like to become mathematicians, yes. And if the teachers are not really excited about mathematics, then they won't produce so many pupils which are excited about mathematics. So we should really send the best mathematician to school in order to become teachers, and we don't do that. Yeah, which is.
But I was speaking about this with some colleagues like 2 weeks ago, and they mentioned, because they teach some classes to Lehramt students, that they usually start quite motivated. And then at the end, they are the ones that think that mathematics is the useless thing, most useless thing in the world. And they were saying, and I agree with them, that is, as you say also, if the new math teachers think that mathematics is useless, no one or 1% of their students will go to study mathematics.
The ones which anyway are interested,
exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
So we really should care way more about Lehramt students, in my opinion.
Yeah. So I think if in your time in Padua, the teaching of people who wanted to become mathematics teacher and people who want to go to industry and the few which plan to stay in academia, they are all taught together. Probably the percentage of women was slightly higher than now in the master's program.
Yes. So in Italy, in the master, you have some subjects that you have to do no matter what you decide to specialize into. And those were with a better percentage, so not so many women still, but I would say maybe a 30%, 30-40%. While here, when I since it was only for mathematicians, no Lehramt students, and usually I chose, so my master was really into theoretic mathematics, algebra, geometry, number theory, and in those courses, both in Padova and here, there was a way bigger percentage of men students. So many times I was the only woman, the only out of 2 women in the room. But whenever I was in Padova in courses that were for a broader, like for everyone, there were many more women. So that really makes a difference.
Yes. And when becoming a PhD student, did this again become worse for you? So the relation between the percentages of men and women in making a PhD?
I don't think so. Only because, as I said, the courses I did here were already almost all men. So it was almost impossible to be less women because I was there both times. And I think that in my department here in Regensburg, when I did my PhD, usually there were between, like, around 20% of women PhD students, a bit less. So not so bad. But for example, in my group of, like, my research group, I was the only one out of six people. So it was not a big problem for me. They were nice people in my group, so I didn't feel bad. But sometimes, I don't know, I think that you need someone more similar to you. And yeah.
If you are talking to your friends and family in Padua about the culture in Germany, what are things you tell them which they cannot believe?
So, every German would say that. It's not related to math at all and not to gender at all. But the thing that they never believe is that the train system is way better in Italy than in Germany. Because in Italy we have the stereotype that Germany is perfect in everything, and in my opinion, not so much. I mean, there are things in which it's good, better than Italy, but there are things in which not so much.
Do you have plans to go on the basis of the survey which you did last year, or are you open to doing whatever comes with the hopefully soonish position you will have?
So I'm planning to do both. If the position works, it will be on something else than the survey. But this interest that I have in gender, or in general, I would say minorities, equality, diversity, and inclusivity, it's something that I would like to keep doing and researching about. So I have also collaboration now going on with a professor in Dublin. Mm-hmm. And we are focusing on a different topic, but always about diversity, equality, and inclusivity. So it's something I would like to keep doing. That is my actually ultimate goal in life. I don't know if it will work, but I like it.
Yeah, because in a way there are so many things still open and to be done. And if you just do tiny steps forward, this helps so many people, yes.
Yes. I have spoken in many conferences or seminars in mathematics departments, so not about not educational mathematics conferences, but actual mathematics conferences. And every time I speak there, you really see that they need it. Not that they need that I speak, but that they need that these
topic
things
to
are
be
said
talked
out
about.
Loud.
Yes, yeah.
Mm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's I really feel motivated, and it was actually one of the reasons why I wanted to change from pure math to educational math, because I want to do something that has an impact in someone's life. And as much as I think that math is good, what I was doing, I don't think it has a big impact, and I wanted to have a good footprint in the world.
Yes. So then, even for my own future, I have to wish you the best of luck with fulfilling your own wishes.
Thank you.
Because this will help us all. And maybe in a few years' time, we can have another conversation and see what happened in between.
Yes, I would love that.
So thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.